comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Hi, folks, and welcome to the show, whoever you are, and wherever you are, all around this gorgeous planet. Thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Those of you joining us for the very first time, welcome aboard. I'm delighted that you are here, and I think you will be too. Boy, I tell you what, that show last night, we got more response in the past 24 hours to that show than we have to almost any show within the past 2 months. And those of you who have been listening to the show regularly know we have had some really smoking guests on this show. Well, doesn't mean they smoke. But we've really had some top guests and some really hot shows. But last night generated email from all over the world. I've answered email from Australia, Sweden, the UK, Japan, Israel, Romania, and a lot of other places, and around the USA, of course. And it's just been really, really interesting. And, you know, what's been interesting to me is I have stood at the spot where those videos were shot. I don't vouch for the videos. I wasn't there. But I do vouch for the fact that where those cameras were, there are no trees. And I got email from people that said, well, it still looks like trees to me. Okay, it can look like trees to you or marshmallows or bananas. There are no trees there. Anyway, it has been interesting. And one of the emails, one from Israel, asked, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, I hope you'll put the Edmunds videos on your site. And the answer is, yes, those videos will be going up in our members area. And I encourage you to join. If you're not a member, you should join. Once in a while, I get an email from someone who says, you're just in this for the money. Well, okay, if that's what you think. That's why I live on $1 TV dinners. You know, we do have to pay these bills so that you can get the show free. And, but the members area is, $6.95 a month. That comes out to like 23 cents a day. Jeez, that's expensive, but that's where they're going. And if you want to, see them, and even download them, that's where they will be. And, we'll get those up in there, before the weekend. In the members area, the K-Pods are all up to date, and we hope we'll be able to keep them all up to date. The fraudulent moves of a company here in Phoenix, as some of you know, caused us to tear down the studio, take all the equipment apart, and get ready to move it, and then within 24 hours have to reassemble it back in the same place where it was. And it threw our schedule off. But the K-Pods, the podcasts, are all up to date in the members area. And so if you're not a member, you need to join and avail yourself of the podcasts, the forums, the chat, the Video Galaxy, what else is in there? The library of free ebooks, a lot of stuff in there and more stuff coming. And like I said, it'll break the bank at $6.95, I'm sure. All right, my guest this evening is Lisa Lindley, and she will join us on the other side of this break. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artist from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com. Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forums, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today.
Show unique in the galaxy.
And we are back. It is the Kevin Smith Show. I am your host, Kevin Smith, and my guest this evening is Lisa Lindley. And let me ask you a question. I think these are some questions that a lot of folks have asked themselves from time to time, especially as we see various movies come out. Do demons really exist, or are they sort of the psychological projection that people make up, sort of figments of the imagination, or are they real? And if they're real, do they, I'll use the word haunt, various locations, various people, and can they actually attack you? Can they do things to you? Real things? Well, my guest this evening, Lisa Lindley, has a fascinating story about her family of five battling demons in their home. Lisa, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thank you for having me.
I think folks need to know, just in case something strange takes place, and I don't think it will, and I'm certainly hoping that it does not, but in order for you to get away from all the noise of natural noises of just people living in the house, you have gone into a secluded area of your house, an area that you really don't like to be in.
That's an understatement. I am sitting in my basement right now because it's the only place I could go where it was quiet. But to be honest with you, I avoid this area at all times, especially at night. I'm having to face a big fear by coming down here. But at the same time, what we're going to be talking about tonight is very powerful. And I think it's going to shed a lot of light on the world of what people wonder about all of this. So I'm willing to go out on that limb to help somebody.
All right, Lisa, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us about your background.
Well, I am a mom of three. I have a great husband. We'll be married for 17 years, and we are your all-American family next door, completely normal. We loved Halloween. Our family used to be really into haunted house productions and had the yard everybody wanted to see. We're just totally normal folks that you would see out at the store shopping. I've been staying at home with my daughter for a couple years, my youngest one, and with all of the chaos, if you'd like to call it that, that we've had between our two houses, it's been better, I think, for us to kind of bond with all we've been through. So I am staying at home right now with the kids, and writing was not in the intention ever. I like to read, but I wasn't a writer, and when events started happening to us, I felt this calling, I guess you could say it was, to try to educate people about what we were going through, because I felt very lost and alone, and I couldn't find any information out there that was going to help me when I needed it. So I'm trying to turn around what happened to us and help other people with that.
All right, let's talk about what happened. And things are rocking along. You've been you've had just sort of the average normal interest in things that are paranormal, and all of a sudden things turned around in a negative way. What happened?
Well, I would say we didn't realize what we were dealing with until about a year ago this month. Last year, this happened to us. We actually fled our home in a big, big hurry one night. There were a lot of events that led up to that time. But we realized that what we thought we had between our two houses, we thought we had ghostly activity, simple things going on, appearances. My daughter could see and hear things that other people couldn't see, innocent little children in the house that shouldn't be there. She had seen a lot of different type of entities, but nothing was getting interactive with our family. And what I mean by that is when something turns to evil at its worst, you know it. Demons, I have to say I believe in them now. I didn't before totally. I thought that's a far-out concept. It's what you see in the movies, like you talked about Hollywood, you know, portraying things that people want to see. They want that scare factor. And my family got a crash course really quick on knowing that what happened to us was not what we thought it was at all. We had entities that were appearing simply as what they were, pure evil. My daughter got thrown across the room into some furniture right after my first book came out. I mean, it wasn't even 3 or 4 days, and an entity in our home had spoken and said, "I know you can see me, you SOB. Why don't you just admit it?" These things were making a little bit too much sense to our family, like how they had changed in form. They were becoming interactive. When you mentioned or said that, can these things hurt you? Well, they're very, very real, and that's what I hope to let people know tonight from our experience, how that all kind of manifested itself. But
are you familiar with Brad Steiger? Have you ever heard of Brad Steiger?
No, sir, I haven't.
Brad has probably more paranormal articles and books published than any other writer in the genre. And he's been on this show, and he was talking about this sort of thing. And I said to him, you know, this sounds pretty fantastic. I guess you know that a lot of the listeners would have a hard time believing that that actually happens. And he said, I did too, till I got picked up and thrown against a wall.
Yep, my husband was the big skeptic in our family. Nothing had ever bothered him. He would just see how we were reacting to what was happening. And the night we actually fled our home, it became very, very real what was happening to us. My 14-year-old daughter was the target. She's been targeted, I guess you could say, since she was 9 in the first house. But, you know, we didn't have all of the chaos that we do now in the extreme form. But I can't explain for whatever reason why suddenly on August 14th of 2007, that our lives changed for, you know, the rest of our life. We're never the same people, but you have to just keep coping with what is happening.
What happened on August 14th, 2007?
Well, around the 11th of August, we went over to a friend's house to hang out, and we were talking about some things very casually. And on the way home, I got a really sick feeling in my stomach. We had always had things happening on a regular basis at home, but it wasn't the typical conversation that, you know, oh, what happened today? Did you have something happen to you? We try to have a normal kind of conversation, a normal life. Got this very sick feeling, and when we had gotten home, I didn't want to go into the house. I felt like something was very, very wrong. And I guess it was 48 hours after this feeling came on, My daughter started saying that things were telling her we needed to get out of the house. She was crying hysterically, holding her head, that these entities were screaming at her. That's the night we came home, and that the entity was standing on the stairs, this man in a trench coat and a hat, which it really wasn't a man, which we know now what it was, and said, "I know you can see me, you know, why don't you just admit it?" And that has never happened before, and I didn't know what to say because my husband wasn't a believer at that time, and I said, "Don't tell Dad, let's just go up and try to get ready for bed." And then she was hearing voices upstairs in the bathroom while we were trying to get ready for bed, and finally I had to tell him what was going on, and as soon as we did, it was like all, you know what, had broken loose. It got very chaotic. For 2 days, she's saying, "Mom, we need to leave the house. We need to go to Grandma's." She was holding her head crying. It was just something that, it was just too real. You know, your child would have no reason to make this up. And we had had a lot of things happening prior to that, and I had spoken to a few people I trusted, and they said, "You need to get out now for your safety. Your daughter's begging you to leave. You need to go." I kept thinking, we're never going to let this kick us out of our home. You know, you're trying to rationalize it on your physical human mind, saying this is not happening, but you know it is at the same time. Few people believe what is going on in that extreme thing. We pulled the Bible out, and we tried to read aloud because in the movies, that's what they say you're supposed to do. That didn't help us at all at that time. After 2 days of this, things started to get very interactive in the house with her and with these forces of whatever they were. And we left and we came back. We were seriously thinking about trying to find somewhere else to live. We're in the middle of a huge renovation project. Where would we go? Came back and my daughter went into the foyer. We came through the back area of the house and we have this huge old staircase. And she looked up at there and just totally froze. And she said, "Mom, do you see them?" And I said, "No, what do you mean? What do I see them?" And I felt something wasn't right because I sensed things, and they spoke to her, and there's like a pack of seven demons, and she said, "Mom, they said we need to leave, or our family is going to pay the price and die." I mean, it was just things that you can't even comprehend. My mind was turned inside out. I couldn't believe this was even happening.
Ever described for you what she saw?
Yes, she has. And you know what's the thing that is so truthful, and I really want people to understand what we have seen, especially since we've come back to the house, and I saw one of these standing over her bed one night prior to this major attack that caused our life-changing experience. We've had red or black hooded figures of various sizes standing over her bed at night, staring at her. The night I saw that, I turned my head. It was 2 in the morning. I went upstairs to use the restroom, and I thought, did I just see that? And I tried to ignore it, and I thought, okay, I'm not going to say anything. And the next day, I just, you know, casually asked her. I said, "How did you sleep last night?" And she said she had a really bad night. It was cold in her room. She had dreams. She was being chased, and it was like verifying information that Mom is not hallucinating here. And since we've come back to the house, that has been all we've had are demonic forces. Red, black hooded figures with solid eyes. There's like no pupil is how my daughter describes them. And, you know, in the movies too, they talk about prayer and people praying and that they don't like that kind of thing. And from our experience, when we have an attack in the house, that is what we do. And these things are from some other world. They curse. My daughter can hear what they're saying. My husband will say, you know, what are they saying? And it's just attacks. You know, they just don't like anything. I don't know what they want with our family. We've had this in 2 houses now. We never went out to look for it. It just kind of found us. Backtracking to 2003 in the first house, I think we came across something that may have latched onto us. But that is when she had her first experience. She was 9 years old and said there was a little girl named Linda coming out of her closet at night wanting to play dolls with her. And so I knew at that point that something was definitely going on. She would draw a picture. I've had people say that, you know, have your children draw what they're seeing. And I don't dismiss imaginary friends because from just our family's experience, I know that these things are very real. And when you live through it day after day, you really realize how real these things actually are. But you have to be descriptive when you explain it to people because not everybody can understand in the same way that our family does.
All right. Now, when she sees them,
mm-hmm.
are they the same? I mean, these black hooded figures or red hooded figures?
A lot of the time it is, but the last time we had an attack at the house not long ago, there was a childlike demon. And, you know, the interesting thing about this is, and I don't know why they seem to do this, they give names on occasion. When we're getting, it sounds strange when you say we're getting into a confrontational conversation, but, you know, we try to tell them you're not welcome here, you need to leave. They get all hyper like they do. They go ballistic when you mention anything about, you know, you're not supposed to be here. And they've actually given us names. And I try not to expose myself to going on the internet and researching whatever the false information may be, but some of the names that we've been given, they match up to what they say these demonic names of these entities are, whether that's true or not, but it just is kind of coincidentally strange. But this childlike demon, she said it had red glowing eyes this last time. She said her name was Molly. And the scary thing is, my three-year-old daughter is now experiencing things, and they said to my older daughter, well, if we can't get you, we're going to get the girl, referring to my three-year-old, because she's totally helpless, and she doesn't understand, you know, what has been going on in our house. And we have to defend our family, and it's very hard when you don't have training for this. You know, we're not related to Buffy the Vampire Slayer, where you can, you know, read a crash course, like when the people that left this house left them, they didn't have a book sitting there saying, turn to page 36 when you're having a demonic attack. I mean, I never thought we'd be going through something like this.
All right, now let me back up and ask a question about the eyes. You said they have solid eyes. They have no pupils in them. What color are they?
She said that they are solid black. And I don't know. I've heard stories from different people about these hooded figures, that's some sort of demonic type thing. It's just, it's always a dark feeling. I know when they're there. She can see them and hear them. I've had a couple things happen to me that have been a little freaky, if you want to put it that way, but I keep saying, okay, I can deal with this. My husband's very brave, but my daughter is the one that gets the literal, the literal manifestation. I wish she didn't, but she does.
All right. Are you familiar with the name Ted Tweetmeyer?
No, I'm not.
Ted Tweetmeyer is a very unique individual. He is the guy that was the project manager that did the installation of the launch controls at Kennedy Space Center. But he's into studying and researching all kinds of things. And he's been on this show talking about the black-eyed people, because he was getting reports from people around the country that sound like what you're talking about.
Well, you know what's also really scary, and it will be hard for some listeners to swallow this information because who knows what they're thinking, but, you know, when we were going through all this, when we left our house, there was something else going on, and we were informed by one of these so-called forces of darkness that we had been watched by the people down under, is what this childlike demon or ghost, whatever you want to call it, was telling us. And it's kind of a scary thought to think you're being watched in your own home. These things are smarter than you are. They're reporting back to someone. It's, my husband and I have talked about this a lot. You know, the angels, if people believe in angels, they have their hierarchy of standing, and we know from our experience that the demons do too. They have Satan or whoever, Lucifer, their head honcho guy at the top, and all these little demons that are working for the big guy. And, you know, a friend of mine said something that was interesting. She said, do you think it's kind of strange that these major attacks happen within, like, so many months or so many weeks of each other? And it made me wonder that are they reporting back, you know, getting information, watching our family, what we're doing, and then plan something else, because whatever they tried the last time is not working to scare us. And it's a big fear thing with these stupid things that don't deserve our time. You know, I keep thinking they've stolen 5 years of our life. But it's also really puzzling to wonder why us. You know, we were just having a great life before 2003 and walked into this situation at the first house, really naive maybe, not looking for signs of something that had happened there. And later we found out a little bit too much that maybe that's why this continued on to the second. But we didn't intentionally go out to find this.
All right. Now, whenever one of these entities or demons or whatever it is, whenever it is about to make its appearance, can you tell it? Can you sense that?
Oh, yes, I can. I wish I couldn't, but I've been really sensitive to feeling certain things ever since I've been a small child. And a good instance of this is about a couple weeks ago, we were upstairs, and a lot of activity happens on the second floor, especially at night. No one likes to go up there. My kids usually sleep, you know, downstairs together. And my daughter and I were talking about something totally unrelated to what happens to us. And all of a sudden, I just got this feeling that totally came over me. It was very uneasy. The hair started standing up in my arms. I got a really sick feeling. When you're really close to evil, and my husband will tell you this from his experience, that you feel like you want to just vomit and throw up. I mean, it's a bad thing. And I just stood there, and I told her, I said, be quiet for a minute. And I said, where's Dad? He was downstairs talking to someone about what we were doing to get through this. It was a family member. And I wasn't even in the same area of the house he was. And I got this feeling, and I was looking kind of across the hallway, and it was pitch black. And I said, something's in your room. I said, I don't like it. Something's wrong. And she said, Mom, something's there. She just knew it. And we went and got my husband and started the big prayer thing that we do when something happens, that you just know it. It just comes over you. Your hair stands up. Like right now I'm talking about it, and the hair is standing up on my body. It's just a really sick feeling, dark, heavy, like you just don't want to be here. You need to get out and go somewhere, you know, that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And then that's when we know the big one's coming.
All right, now, you had this incident where there were seven at one time. Have you had other incidents where there were multiples like that?
For my daughter, she's the one that's had many experiences, even outside of our house. They followed her to school before. Strange things have happened, and I ask her not to talk about it. But she says when they always appear, it's in a pack of seven. I mean, she can be walking down the hallway at school, and they'll be there. It's just a very strange thing. It's almost like they have a group leader, and then they have their followers that come with it. But she said that the one main guy does not have a face. She said it's almost like it's a pool of water that you would put your hand in and swish it around. She said it's the most bizarre thing that you've ever seen.
All right, we have to take a break, Lisa. When we come back from this break, we'll continue talking with Lisa Lindley about the demon-possessed house in which she lives. We'll be back. Welcome back. This is the Kevin Smith Show. I am your host, Kevin Smith, and my guest this evening is Lisa Lindley. And Lisa, when we went away for break, oops, I just cranked the volume sky high. Sorry about that, folks. When we went away for break, you were talking about these strange appearances that happen where your daughter sees these things at school. And you said one of them has a face like water, and we had to cut you off as you were explaining that.
I talk too much. I'm sorry. she said that it was almost like a pool of water where it was just really messed up, real swishy, swirly, and it's just a very strange thing, how they work or what they do. I can't explain it. It just, I've seen one of them, but I didn't see a face. It was just, you know, a hood that went over far enough, but the point is it was standing over her bed, and I knew I saw something, so I don't know how she deals with this when they follow her, you know, or where they show up, or when they make threats. Like, the kids even went to a youth camp a couple weeks ago, and she said they had a problem at the youth camp, and the strange thing was the same night, about 4:30 in the morning, our dog was going ballistic over here, just barking and doing crazy things, and my husband was wondering if they were looking for her for some reason. They're going to this church camp to renew their faith and all of this, and, you know, the kids were being attacked at the camp, and it wasn't my daughter bringing something to the table saying, oh, something's happening, but things were happening there. And
like what? What sort of things were happening?
Well, she had been pushed into a tree stump. She was walking back to a common area where the kids were, and prior to that, her and another girl, they were in the cabin or out in this field, something I got part of the story, and one of the girls had on a Mardi Gras-type beaded necklace, and they were talking about something, and she said it was literally ripped off this girl's neck and thrown across the floor, and she said beads were scattered everywhere, and they were sensing throughout the night, a lot of the kids, that something wasn't right at the place that they were at, and then things were happening at our house, and she said she heard these demons. They were making threats saying, we're going to kill this kid, we're going to do this, you didn't think we wouldn't follow you. I mean, it's like a constant thing. And because we had things going on here at our house the same night all this was happening, I found out after the fact, I just kind of went, that's, I don't know if I can dismiss that as just being nothing. We just have to keep a really low profile because we don't want people thinking that our kid needs attention or that our family needs attention by talking about this. I would rather not be having these experiences. And for her, I don't know how she just can blow this off like it's not a big deal.
Well, you know, you're not, you know that by being on this show, you're definitely not low profile now. You're being listened to in 95 countries.
I know that. But you know what? It's for a good purpose. I want to take what's happening to us and educate people and let them know that they can get through this. I mean, I'm still getting through it, trying to talk about it. I had that conversation with my husband. How can I try to help somebody when we're still going through it? But I keep feeling this pull, like I need to get this information out there. So it's not a Lisa thing. I just think there's some other higher purpose that's pulling me to be the person to talk about this. I mean, I don't know why this happened to us.
Yeah. Have you used the services of any of the paranormal research or paranormal investigator groups?
Well, in the first house, shortly after we moved in, I did a lot of research and picked a team that I thought was reputable, local to the area. They brought another team from another city in because our case sounded really interesting, I guess, at the first place. And that turned out to be a very bad mistake. I don't think they had our best interest at heart, to put it mildly, but there were a lot of things that happened at the house that night. They had brought all their equipment with the bells and whistles and all this that they do, and a lot of very unexplained things happened. Cameras were shutting off by themselves. Things were appearing on film, and we found unmarked cemeteries on our back field that we didn't know about. We had a little farmhouse with 5 acres that we were working on, and to be honest with you, I think they were not prepared for what they were about to encounter with our situation, and they dropped us like a hot potato. I mean, a few weeks after, they brought somebody with them that was supposed to have cleansed our property and did all this, and the night after they left, my son was 3 at the time. He was screaming that there was a man standing over his bed. It got stirred up in a bad way. So at the house that we're at now, there's been one lady that I brought out here that I trusted from the last house, but I haven't talked to her in over a couple years because I didn't think that was going to help us. I mean, that's all great to try to, you know, investigate and all this, but after what we've been through for 5 years now, I don't need any more evidence, and I don't possibly know how that could help me with what we're going through with our family. It would just, I think, make things worse, and I think it gives a false sense of security. Like, you want to know what's in your house, what's going on, but my family, we know what's in our house, and we would like it to leave, and I don't think there's any magic potion that you can, you know, put in the four corners of your house or burn these candles to fix this.
What have you done to try and make them leave, other than this, what you just told us? Have you done anything else to try and make these entities leave?
Honestly, all we're doing is trusting in our faith at this point. I think when we fled the house last year, we got a big wake-up call that we needed to come together as a family and trust in something higher than ourselves to get through this. And that's what is bringing us relief when an attack happens. But I can't sit here and tell you that I'm brave every night, because I'm not. My husband is very brave. The kids, you know, we're trying to just cope with what's going on, and we're trying to find out if there's a possibility we can move. But we know that you can't run from this. I mean, I know it's funny you say we're in this demon-possessed house, but honestly, I think that it is after our family. It might be a little bit of, you know, buying these old houses and trying to fix them up, which we're not planning on doing in the future anymore. But something may have latched onto us, and I don't think moving is going to fix it. I honestly don't. I'm just tired of renovating. But
it sounds, you know, based on what you're telling us, it sounds as if, when you say they've latched on to us, it sounds as if they've really latched on to your daughter.
Yes, and you know, that worries me because of the age. They talk about, you know, certain kinds of activity and things, kids drawing this in. But, you know, my kids are very, I guess, naive in a way you could say. They've never watched, you know, these scary movies that are out there that all of us watched growing up. They've never had exposure to doing these things. We weren't into Ouija boards. We didn't do this. And, you know, we didn't talk about this, but it's really kind of important, I think, is in the first house, when we looked at it, I had a feeling initially that something wasn't right, and I didn't know all the info. And the realtor, I asked her, I said, I need to ask you a question. I said, did somebody die here? And she looked at me like, how would you know that? Because someone had actually died there 6 months prior. And our previous owner had committed suicide in the house. And that's not why I think we had the problems we did. But their son, who was 14 years old, I believe he was practicing some sort of witchcraft or Satanism in the house. I found a lot of this out later from his sister and a few other people what was actually going on. But when we were looking at buying it, on the second floor of my daughter's bedroom was this kid's bedroom. And there were a couple pentagrams drawn on, it was either the windowsill or the wall, and I said, we'll just paint over that. I saw it, but I didn't put two and two together because I wasn't looking for that. I just wanted a house. And there were some evil posters up on the wall, and I thought, we'll just tear those down and get on with it. And then my husband said, you know, even after we bought the place, that, you know, people die in houses every day. It probably just looks scary because it needs a lot of work, dark paneling, you know, those kind of cosmetic things. And then we were living in a camper on the property, moved in 2 weeks later because it wasn't ready to be moved into, and then that's when my daughter, who was 9, came to me and said, Mom, you know, I got to tell you something. I said, what? And this is a 9-year-old kid who had no idea about anything, and she said, there's a little girl coming out of my closet at night wanting to play dolls with me. And looking back at how innocent that might have seemed, now that I know what we've been going through was not innocent ghostly activity, you know, demons appear to people as things that you can identify with. You know, you think it's your dead grandmother, or a child appearing to you. A child does not seem threatening at all until it sucks you in, and then you're falling into this trap of, wow, I'm believing in this now and giving it your energy and this and that and all the rest. And then, you know, here, I don't know why it went so bad so quickly, you know, a year ago. It just turned for the worse. It was like, slam, here you go. You just deal with this. And I couldn't understand what was going on. So for her, I worry. I mean, I'm a mom, and yes, I'm going to worry about her safety, but...
When she first came to you and told you, there's a little girl that comes out of my closet and wants to play dolls, what did you think the first time you heard that?
I panicked because I was big into the paranormal. It was a hobby, kind of like what you guys do. You know, you research and you talk about things, and we were always known as this family that really liked Halloween and all this, and they joked, you know, the Limleys are Halloween 365 days of the year. And when she told me that, my stomach completely sunk because I was having feelings in the house like something wasn't right. It's before it all started, but, you know, follow that sense. I tell people, if you feel like something's wrong, it probably is. And, yeah, I was frightened. I mean, and then I went to work, and I couldn't concentrate. I got on the Internet trying to find anything I could on the subject, and there wasn't anything. And that's when I started looking for the paranormal people to consult with to say, hey, what do you think about this? What's going on here? So,
now, are you of the opinion now that each and every time that someone has a conversation with their departed grandmother or child or whatever, that is actually a demon? Is that your opinion now?
I believe it is. I can't say I think it's a ghost. I mean, what someone may have down the street could be completely different, but just from what we've experienced, we know we were deceived. That's just the best way to put it. You know, my daughter told me, she said, you know, my grandmother passed away when she was 3 and she didn't go to the funeral or wake. And my daughter said this woman was coming to her at night, sewing by her bedside, describing this exact dress that we buried my grandmother in. She would have had no way of knowing this.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, that's really sweet. My grandma's coming to visit from the beyond, this and that. And the more I got into it, that's not what it was at all. They wanted us to think this. I think that's how we got sucked into this whole mess of really getting our mindset that, oh, this is acceptable and this is nothing. It's not dangerous. And they kept coming, you know, in different forms. My daughter saw a soldier on our steps at the house one night during a thunderstorm, this man in a full military uniform. She described it to a T. She said he was holding a gun and staring at her on the, you know, the steps. And, I mean, she saw a little boy with a ball cap and all this out on our driveway. I mean, it was just a lot of innocent-type apparitions, if you want to call it. I had other people, though, that had went to the house, and they had sensed things as well. I had a friend of ours that she felt like somebody was squeezing her wrist really tightly, and she just wanted to get out of there. I mean, there are other people that have had strange things happen at the other house. So
now, is it possible that while what you have experienced has been evil in nature, is it possible that, and you said we were deceived, is it possible that that's not the case for all ghostly activity? Is it possible that there's some of it that's real and that really is ghosts and not demons?
It's really hard for me to say, yes, I believe that there are ghosts out there because, you know, not everybody has an extreme form like what we've had. But what I can say is that I believe in angels, and I believe that there are things out there that protect people and look out for us. But I just can't sit here and tell you that I believe in ghosts anymore after seeing how these things manifest. It's not.
Well, have you seen angels?
I haven't, but my daughter has. So I
now, how does she know it's an angel and not a demon deceiving her?
She says that they have an aura about them, I guess, and that would be my word, like a hue around them of light. And she actually, in the midst of a really bad attack that we had over New Year's Eve, this past New Year's Eve, we called on angels, please come, you know, called on God. We said, please send an army of angels to help us. We had a two-hour, I guess if you want to call it, battle with these things on New Year's Eve in our house. And she said, Mom, there's hundreds of them. They're filling the room. It just, the whole feeling in the house, it shifted. You could feel it becoming lighter. You knew some good presence was there. It's when you feel this heavy, dark, just bad stuff, you know what it is. It's just something you can't shake. You can't deny it either. You know it's there. And when the good stuff is there, you also can sense that too. But that's a good thing. I'm glad she can sense those kind of things or see them. But
all right, we're into a break, and we'll have to continue on the other side of this break. We'll be back, folks, more with my guest, Lisa Lindley, right after this.
the girl. I said, at least till the end of the world, yeah.
Kevin Smith here. Do you have your Kevin Smith Show t-shirt yet? No? Well, let today be the day you step into the world of galactic fashion. Visit the Kevin Smith Show online store and get yours today. It's the Kevin Smith Show, and I'm the Kevin Smith. My guest this evening is Lisa Lindley. And, Lisa, we were talking about, you know, whether these things could possibly, for some people, not be demons. And I can certainly understand where you're coming from. You're saying, you know, based on what all you've been through, it would be difficult for you to buy that because that's not been your experience. Your experience has been that these are demons that are evil. And you said that you have had angels fill the room. Why do you suspect that you did not see them, your daughter did, when you have seen the demons, but you didn't see the angels?
That's a really good question. I don't know if you have to be open, have your mind open enough when you're fearful. I think you shut down. And maybe that's part of it. My fear was blocking maybe what I could have sensed. But, you know, I don't really know why. She's just more sensitive maybe in some ways where I don't want to say she's gifted because she calls it a curse. She wishes this would not happen to her. But I don't know. I just think maybe she's more receptive, and fear does a lot of really bad things to people. It does cause you to shut down and focus on the negative instead of the positive.
Yeah, fear is a very, very powerful negative force in our lives. How much of what you've experienced do you think is a projection of fear, and how much of it do you think would be the actual entities themselves?
I don't believe, if you were saying that possibly when you worded this question, that like we were, I guess, bringing this to ourselves, or, you know, thinking that we caused that. Is that kind of what you mean, instead of it being the actual thing itself?
Well, let me describe. I think a description will work better than an explanation. Sometimes we can become so fearful that we think something is, maybe think an evil presence is there when it's not. And it scares us. We don't see anything. Nothing really happens to us, but it scares us. And then there would be the events where they actually are there. How much of the first type have you experienced, if any?
Well, I think that we're getting the real thing here. I mean, just to sum it all up, what we are experiencing is what it is. It's not because we're scared that we're bringing this in, or that it's, we're thinking it into existence. I mean, It's what it is. I hate to say that, and we're trying to just shake it off and get through this. But for some reason, I mean, we're getting the real deal. I hate to put it that way. It's bluntly put like that. But I've never honestly had an experience over here where I thought maybe I was just hallucinating, you know, what was happening to us. It's just too real when it's happened to you for so long. It's almost like your sixth sense kicks in or something. You just know when it's happening to you. I wish it wasn't that way, but it is. It's just
right,
literal. Yeah.
So let me ask this then. When you say these are demons, are you defining that in the same way that typically biblical scholars would define it?
Yes. It's, you know what, I have to say this, and I guess it's in the best way to describe this. I wasn't going to bring it up, but I'm glad you did, because I didn't want to offend anyone. But when
Time out. Let me just make a statement so you'll know.
Okay.
The Constitution of the United States of America guarantees our freedom of speech, which absolutely guarantees you will be offended sometime in your life if people use freedom of speech. So I believe in freedom of speech, and just say it like it is, and the chips fall where they fall.
Okay. Well, this is what made it very real, and I have to say this because it's very powerful to back up what we're saying. When we left, and I told you we were getting the Bible out, trying to read, we didn't have faith in our heart. It was just a defense thing, and when you're just reading blank words, they're not going to do anything for you. I can tell most people that. And after we had fled the house, and we were very confused, I mean, I'm talking way confused, I sat down with a friend of mine and told her about this experience with the seven demons on the stairwell. And she said, well, it's in the Bible. And I said, what do you mean? And she turned to this chapter in Matthew, and it says, when one cannot find rest, it will bring seven in its place, more wicked than itself. And, oh gosh, the hair is like standing up on my body right now when I mention this. And it was like biblical truth about what was happening to us. And there's no way my daughter would have had, we didn't have a spiritual thing. We weren't going to church at that time. There's no way she could have known about the seven. What's so puzzling about the number of seven or so important about it, I don't know. But what we were learning, it was making a little too much sense because it was written right there. That was my first clue. We're dealing with something very real that's, you know, based in the Bible. And yes, I do believe that what they talk about, you know, evil at its worst and how they appear, or, you know, just the different references that are throughout that I'm learning about now, it definitely goes with that. It's what it is. It's exactly
all right.
What they say it is.
Now, in that passage of Scripture, that has to do with a demon that was exorcised, was cast out of a man.
Right.
And he had, this man had been, we would say, demon possessed, and it had, the demon had been cast out. But the moral of the story, if you will, is that if you have a demon cast out of you and then you don't fill up that void with something spiritual, he goes out and finds seven more wicked than himself and returns. And
right.
they take up residence. So that brings up the question of demon possession.
Mm-hmm.
Have there been any signs that any member of your family has been demon possessed?
No, thank goodness. And I had someone that I talked to that was a demonologist. I did a lot of research. I wasn't a friend of his, but someone referred me to talk to him. And he told me there are these different stages, like five stages of demon possession. And I guess they can manifest with oppression. It has all these different things. And, you know, the great thing, though, on a positive note, is that our family has bonded together through this whole experience. We're all on the same page now, which has been very helpful. And my daughter has not, you know, exhibited any signs of that. But I'll tell you one thing, though, which is kind of ironic in a certain kind of way. When these demonic forces are trying to wreak havoc on our family, it might not be a literal attack, you know, that something terrible is happening, but there's high tension in the house. They can mess with your relationship with your spouse. unexpected things will come up. I mean, that happens in everyday life, but when we're normally a very happy family, and when there's a lot of tension in the air and things are going on, that's not us. It's something in the house or with our family that's trying to cause a problem. It's like constant chaos. What can we do to cause grief with this family? And that's when we have to pull together. But on the, you know, the demonic possession, I would say no, but maybe they're trying to do that to us, but we're bonding. I mean, we're not going to go there with this. Hopefully we will have a happy ending to the story.
All right. We've got a minute and a half until our next break. So let me ask you this. What about physical manifestations, not just the apparitions? You talked about the little girl at the camp that had the beads jerked off of her neck and the beads went scattering across the floor. What about physical manifestations like that? Have you had that in the house?
Well, you know, I just talked about this with someone that, you know, I had this thing happen to me about a week or so ago that, you know, sometimes you have a dream and it's not really a dream. And considering what's happened in our house, a lot of things are very real. And you talked about, you know, demons attacking people or whatever. And I had woken up out of a really deep sleep, which we never sleep really well in this house anyway. There's always something going on. And it came to me. It was like a dark, heavy presence. And it didn't speak in so many words, but it was like I knew what it was saying to me, that it was going to hurt me, that it was going to claw me and tear me up. And I woke up and I was so scared. I couldn't even go to the restroom. It's like 2 a.m. And I turned my back away from the bed because I thought, you know, is something really trying to hurt me? Are they trying to get through to me now? Are they going after the weakest link? But, you know, other than my daughter getting thrown across the room, we don't have, you know, pictures flying off the walls or things like that happening. It's just real attacks that happen when we sense it, and this full-blown out thing happens where our family has to pull together. But this new thing with me, you know, it really did scare me. And then my 3-year-old daughter said that she had seen a man upstairs in the toy room trying to play tea party with her. And I thought, how did I miss that? You know, as a mom, your kids play. But, you know, it's like they're going after her now. It's just, that's the kind of things they do. It's not really, you know, let's hurt somebody in a really bad kind of way with physical all the time. It's real subtle. Things like that that you miss. You think you're on top of this. And sometimes you miss these little signs that are very big, very big things, especially with a 3-year-old child that you're trying to protect from this.
All right. We are at this point just a few seconds away from the break. So what we'll do is we'll go away for this break. When we come back, folks, we will open the telephone lines for you to call in. And if you have questions or comments, or maybe you've had a similar experience, we also will open up the Skype line for those of you who are outside of the United States and outside of Canada. And you can use that to call in. We'll be back right after this. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com.
I was there the day the river went dry. just stood and watched the river die. 'Cause when all is gone and nothing else remains, you just hope for rain.
Get it all. Become a member at KevinSmithShow.com. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I'm Kevin Smith, your host. My guest this evening is Lisa Lindley. And Lisa, let's go straight to the telephone line. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Yes, Brent.
Lisa, I had a friend once who was a, she didn't like to claim it, but she was a witch. A light witch, I guess you could say. It sounds to me like you're on the front lines of something. I don't know what. But if you'll take my advice, look up a light witch. I think there's one in Australia. There might be some in the United States, England. I don't know. Have them talk to them and possibly train your daughter to deal with these things. Both your daughters, yourself, and possibly even your husband.
Thank you for that advice. I think I'm trying not to stir it up at this point. I wrote down what you said so I wouldn't forget exactly, but right now it's kind of just proceed with caution is a big thing to do because, you know, it is fearful if you do something wrong or you're going to make the situation worse. But that's a very interesting thought that you have there.
Well, look, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not religious. But I'm not ignorant by any stretch of the imagination of what the Bible says about most things. But what I'm about to say has nothing to do with what does the Bible say. This has to do with just me. If someone is bothering me and they won't leave me alone, there's going to come a point at which there's going to be a confrontation and one of us is going to win. Only one. And unless there is a confrontation and it is a confrontation to victory, in other words, only one is going to win here. Unless you do that, they're going to keep doing what they're doing.
Well, the more we fight back as a family with prayer, the harder they fight back. But that's what we've grounded ourselves in, our faith, to get through this. And that is totally true. I mean, there is a big confrontation going on, but we've verbally said to the walls, I know it sounds kind of crazy to some people, but we're not going where you're wanting us to go. Whatever you want, we don't want a part of it. Get out of our house. You're not welcome here. And we do pray. That is all we are doing to get through this. That's what we trust in right now. And if that's working for whatever we need, then that's what we're going to just keep doing right now. That's what we're leaning on.
The telephone number, folks, is on your screen. It is 1-623-581-5148. The Skype line is open for those of you who are international callers. If you're calling from Europe or Australia or Asia or Africa or wherever, outside Mexico, outside of the is on your screen. It is 1-623-581. Well, we're trying to use Skype, and it's doing its weird stuff again. Keep trying, Skype caller. We will get you in. You know, if you're outside of the USA, if you're outside of Canada, go ahead and give us a Skype call, all right? Folks, I don't know. I don't know. I'm trying to use Skype. It isn't cooperating. Let's go to the telephone. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
My name is Mona. I'm from Cocoa, Florida.
All right. You said Mona?
Mona, yeah.
Okay, Mona, you're a first-time caller?
Yes.
All right, you get some applause for that. All right, what's on your mind this evening, Mona? Hello, Mona.
How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing good. What's on your mind this evening?
Well, I was just thinking about that gal that, you know, that we're just talking to.
Okay.
Well, and she said she's talking about demons and UFOs and...
Nope, she didn't mention UFOs.
Connect the two?
I don't necessarily connect the two.
Well, do you connect the two?
No, I don't.
Well,
Do you connect UFOs with demons?
Not necessarily.
All right. So what's your question for the guest?
Yes, I would like to ask you, because you have such a background in...
Okay, what's the question?
That you possibly know that there is a connection between the angelic beings and the heroes of ancient age and what's going on in the skies today.
Okay, well, anything is possible. And is it possible that all this stuff we're seeing in the skies is connected in some way with the angelic beings or with the stories about the ancient heroes? Yeah, it's all possible. But the fact is, nobody knows. The fact is, anyone who says they know, they're speculating. They don't know. And we know that there are strange phenomena in the skies. Certainly, in Lisa's home, there's some strange phenomena going on. But as far as I know, Lisa, you haven't connected this with UFOs in any way, have you?
I have never experienced anything with a UFO. Never. Uh-huh. So I can't say anything on that subject at all. I don't know enough about that, actually.
All right. Fair enough. Look, there are people who say that everything that has to do with UFOs is 100% it's demons. I'm aware of that. Speculation. Total speculation. No one knows.
What I could tell you, I mean, just what I believe is that there are angels who are the good higher power, and there are demonic forces that are the lower bad power, if you want to put it that way. And they're both very real from our family's perspective, and there is a huge realm of dark spiritual warfare. This is what is going on. It's a war in the heavens or a war in the skies, whatever you'd like to call it, that there's a definite war between good and evil or good versus bad. That's pretty much all I know.
Well, there is a sort of esoteric sort of way of looking at a connection in that, and I've said this before on the show, people who believe in God believe in extraterrestrials. And the reason that I say that is because he's not from here. If he's not from here, he's extraterrestrial. He can't be from here if he created here. So people who have that belief system, in a way, automatically believe in extraterrestrials. Angels are not from here. And if the Bible is to be believed, then demons are not from here. All of those are extraterrestrial. So could there be a connection between those beings and UFOs? Well, yeah, I guess there could be. But nobody knows. It's all speculation. The telephone number is 623-581-5148. 623-581-5148. We'll have to work on the Skype thing some more. It still isn't working right. It takes over the audio. It cuts out your audio if you're listening on the radio or on the internet. And, we've just got to work on it. And we'll keep doing what we can and try to get it up and running. No one in your family has shown any signs of possession. Is there anyone around your family, friends or perhaps extended family members, that are active in any sort of occult practices?
No, not at all. Actually, the people that are around us are pretty good faith people. No one that really does anything that would, I keep saying, invite this in. That's a good way to put it, where you're intentionally trying to summon them up. We don't have any of that. That's what makes this so interesting. I guess I hate to say that at my own expense, but I cannot figure out, for the life of me, why this is going on. What is their big fascination with our family? What is this? And we really think we're a haunted family and not the haunted house so much. If we do get the chance to move to a third, I would hope we wouldn't be followed, but I told my husband, we have to be realistic. If this is truly after us, you can't run from this, with House 2 a coincidence or not. I don't think so, after what we've learned through this experience.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have anyone around us that is into any of this.
Have you considered using the services of any exorcists or anything like that? Like, maybe a priest or a pastor of a church, someone to come in and exorcise these demons?
That came up in a topic of conversation between my husband and I, and his opinion about the whole thing was that if it's after us, we can get temporary relief if someone comes into the house and prays for us. I kept saying, why, I was really adamant, why don't we just have, somebody come in and do this for us? And he said, if it's truly after us as a family, we are the ones that are going to have to pray this out. We are the ones that are going to have to do this. And I've had other people that have been through a similar situation say the same thing. You guys are the ones that are going to have to deal with this. And my other fearful thought, I guess it might sound kind of silly, but to me it's not, considering, what we know now. I'm a little fearful. What if we did bring someone in that would, try to exorcise the house? and then things worse happen than have already been happening. You know, I wish I would have never seen some of the movies where you see things turning upside down, you know, like crucifixes on the wall and this and that. But, you know, in our house, we don't even have any religious paraphernalia, you know, hanging up around the house. We don't have that trying to get rid of this kind of stuff, but we're just doing it on our own at this point. I'm not very comfortable with bringing somebody in.
So what you're saying is if you brought someone in and basically all they did was just irritate these demons, then you could have a worse situation.
Well, I do believe that, and they go dormant. I mean, you know, we had that one lady come out and do a walkthrough of our home that we're in now, and she told me a bunch of information that she thought, you know, was accurate and this and that. And, you know, they know, they would know, they're smart, they'll go hide somewhere in the house until that person is gone, and then just when you let your guard down enough that you're feeling comfortable, that's when they strike. So we're always on edge, pretty much you could say that. I mean, not looking for a problem, but I am never too comfortable. That's a good way to put it. But
now, have they threatened physical harm? Have they threatened to kill any of the family members?
Well, with my daughter's experience, not her herself, but other children, and then they said to her not long ago that if we can't get you, we're going to get the girl, referring to my three-year-old when we had a confrontation in one of the upstairs bedrooms the night that we were trying to pray this out. And then I had this thing happen to me not long ago where I was talking about waking up or something. I felt like it was going to hurt me. It was going to claw me and scratch me, and I've never had that before, and I don't know if I was just having a weak moment, but they seem to strike between 9 in the evening and 4 in the morning. It's like peak times of the hour that the bad threats, this is when it happens, whatever that means with the time frame.
But, give me the time frame again. It happens between when?
It's usually between 9 in the evening and 4 in the morning. Like, most of the major attacks have happened between 9 and 11 at night. But it's very strange because, like clockwork, I usually wake up about 2, 3 o'clock every single morning. And it's just so frightening sometimes, the feeling that I have that I can't even go upstairs by myself. I get too nervous. I'll just lay there and think, you know, I really need to go upstairs. And I just won't do it. I try to wait and wait and wait. And then I think, I have to be braver than this thing is. I have to, you know, just do it, you know. And then I eventually, you know, can work myself up to do that. But I just think when you're exposed to this for so long, it really plays with you, you know, your mind and your psyche and whatever else you'd like to call it. But I'm human. I mean, I have to be honest. This is not a fun situation that we're in, and we will overcome this. I just don't know how the outcome is looking, like how soon we're going to get resolution.
All right. Now, whenever you when you personally have seen the apparitions, the manifestation of these things, once you said you saw it was a man in a trench coat standing on the stairs.
No, my daughter actually saw that, but I saw the red hooded figure standing over her bed at 2 in the morning.
Have you ever been able to see the eyes?
No, and you know what was really strange about that? What I saw, it, you know, I couldn't even tell you. Maybe it was around 5 foot, you know, tall, and it was leaning over. I mean, it was like kind of crouched over. Is that a good description? And the hood was, it came down so far that you couldn't see the face. It was just covered where I couldn't see anything, but you knew that something was standing there, and I looked over, and it looked at me, and then it just disappeared into thin air, but it knew that I had seen it, and I thought, oh, you know, it just, I don't know, it was a very unnerving experience. And then the next day when I asked her candidly, you know, I said, you know, how did you sleep last night? She said, why? I said, I just wanted to know. When she said what she did, it just confirmed for me that I wasn't hallucinating, you know. Uh-huh. It's just, but I haven't really seen much since then, but I sense things like all of the time, and that's sometimes worse than seeing it. When you know it's there, and I don't want to see it, I definitely do not want to see it, and maybe, you know, God knows that I can't handle it if I do see it, so it's keeping me brave to the degree that I can be at this point in time.
All right. Now, this garment that it wears, have you seen any of the Star Wars movies?
Oh, I'm a big Star Wars fan, actually.
Okay. You know the hooded garment that the Emperor wears?
Yes, sir.
Is that what it looks like?
It's very similar.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like hooded, cloaked is a good way to put it, but the hood is attached, you know, to the you call it the garment, and I guess it ties in the front. But you know, when you're seeing these things, you don't stare at every minute detail. You're kind of taken aback. You know, you're just, okay, did I see that? Did I not see that? And you know that you did. I mean, I tell people not to second guess themselves, but you know, with my daughter, every time it makes an appearance, I mean, this is how they're manifesting, red or black. I don't know what the significance of the color means, but their eyes are solid, the solid black, no pupils. She said, Mom, that is what they look like.
Oh, and has she seen their faces? I mean, what facial features do they have?
Well, the solid eyes, but she said sometimes when the pack of seven appeared on the stairwell, she said, Mom, they all had faces like regular human faces except for the guy in the middle. He's the one that had the swirly pool-type face that wasn't totally there, but she said they had black hair. I mean, she described exactly, she said their skin looked really similar to ours. They were in, you know, red outfits. I mean, it's really, it's just freaky is what it is when she explained this to me.
Mm-hmm. Have any of them ever expressed either to you or to her, what's their purpose? What do they want?
We don't know. And that's what is so puzzling about this. It's just threatening. It's threats. It's, you know, the more that when we pray aloud, they strike back saying, oh, you know, they'll come back at you saying that, you know, all that God stuff, that doesn't mean anything. We're bigger than he is. We'll take you on. This, you know, it's like empty type of threats. But what's really unique about it, that we know it's not from this world, the language is very broken. That is the only way I can explain it. Like, she will say, my husband will say, you know, what are they saying? And she'll repeat it back. And he gets kind of excited. And she's like, Dad, hold on. I have to listen to what this is saying. You know, it, you just know it's not from this world. You know, that's the last conversation that they had. You know, we're going to, if we can't get you, we're going to take the girl, because we're declaring aloud, we're not following you. We don't want you here. You know, it's the empty threats that they make. It's not so much always, you know, I guess what they say, it's just knowing that they're here.
All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
How's it going over there?
Good.
Pretty interesting stuff. I feel very bad for this lady. That's got to be horrible. I mean, she cares about her kids. These things are happening, so nobody would even make anything up like that. I hope nobody's ever pointed a finger and said anything like that, because that's absolutely horrible, and these things happen. My only comment, and it's kind of a question, in theory, in my mind, I'd think that whatever was manifesting itself on the other side, on our side, maybe when it comes over, it's going to need an energy source. So, like, if you look at temperature, it's got calories, and calories are energy. I'm wondering if you've noticed a lot of coldness in the areas where the things are the most powerful and demonic. Thank you.
The night that I had seen this standing over her bed, when I asked her about that the next day, she had said that it was freezing cold in her room. And from the research I've done in the past for my own, you know, when it was fun, I guess, to research this, they talk about that, temperature fluctuations and different things. So that, yes, was a definite sign. Other than that, I mean, I just want people to know I'm creative, but I'm not that creative to have ever made this up. I mean, our family never needed this kind of attention. And, you know, I hope if we do have the opportunity to move from here, it wouldn't be for the wrong reasons, you know, just to get away from this, because I don't think that's going to happen. But it's just a very strange situation. I mean, I want to do something positive. I appreciate your sympathy and all that, but I don't want people to feel sorry for us. I want them to know that you can get through something. I mean, there have got to be other families going through something where a spouse doesn't believe, and here's the mom with her kids. She's scared out of her mind. I mean, you can claim your house back. I mean, we haven't totally done that. We're working on it, but there's got to be a higher message for going through this, and I wouldn't on purposely expose my kids to this if I would have thought the second house was going to have all of this. I mean, mm-hmm. We did all the research, and there was no sign of any violent death. There was nothing. And then we started taking pictures, you know, of renovating, and these things were showing up on film that no one has been able to explain. And I just thought, there is no way this is happening again. There is no way. And then the story continues.
All right, the story will continue on the other side of this break. Caller, if you'll hang on, we'll get you first up after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, more with Lisa Lindley after this. We are back. My guest this evening is Lisa Lindley, and Lisa, we have a caller holding, so let's go straight to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, it's Lana again, and how you doing, Kevin? And hello, Lisa. How you doing?
Hi.
Go ahead, Mona.
Hey, I'm down here. I'm here in Cocoa, getting blasted by a tropical storm.
Did you have a question for the guest?
Yes, and I was very interested about the fact that she believes that there is, in the unknown, that she believes that there are demonic spirits. And my experience with this has been that I've had these... what you call prophetic dreams and also out-of-body experiences. And does she think that those are demonic in their nature? And how do those relate to UFO experiences?
I don't know that they do relate to UFO experiences. All right, Lisa.
You know,
go ahead.
Yeah, well, what I know, I'm just saying what I know because it's what I know. Demons, from what I've studied about this new, whole new thing that we've been learning about, demons, if you want to go back to the biblical thing, they're fallen angels is basically what they are. They hate mankind. They want us to suffer just like they are because God kicked them out of the heavens in the first place when they thought that this angel could be high and mighty and better than God. And so they're angry with us, and they want the entire human race to turn away from God. So they attack. They do all kinds of things to families like ours and a lot of other people that are out there in different kinds of ways, maybe not always in the most literal form like we've been getting. But that's how I can say that I believe in this, because I just, from the research
I've
been
doing, but
what
about, like, out-of-body experiences? I mean, do you see
I've
that?
I've never had one of those. I've never had an out-of-body thing, and like I said, I don't have any experiences with UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
I just know from our experience what we're dealing with, it's not related to any of that.
All right. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Kevin?
Yes. Kevin? Go ahead.
Kevin?
You're on the air. The world is waiting to hear you. Who is this?
This is still Mona.
Okay, Mona, we have a rule, and you probably didn't know this, but one caller per show, and you've had two. So thank you for your call, and I hope you'll call us again tomorrow. All right, the telephone number is 1-623-581-5148. 1-623-581-5148. If you have a question or if you have a comment, you know, this is a pretty hairy subject.
It is.
For most of us, the idea of demon possession is way beyond what any of us, and not just demon possession, but demon haunting, like what you folks are going through, is way beyond anything that most of us have experienced, and so it's a little bit difficult to get our minds around. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Deb in Calgary.
Well, hi, Deb. It's been a long time. I'm glad to hear your voice.
I've been in the hospital a long time.
What?
I'm not worried about me right now. I turned in late to your guest because I was listening to Jim Mars. She's having a demon problem. Now, I heard a witch. Her name is Evelyn Paglini, and she's a spiritual warrior, and she talks about demons, and I'm sure she could help your guest. Her website is called Mystical Blim. Now, I think there was a phone number. You can telephone her. It's in California somewhere, Sherman Oaks. 818. Oh, it's so hard to see now. 985-9935.
Okay, and that's on her website?
Yeah, her phone number is on her website. It's called Mystical Blim, and she's a spiritual warrior. I heard her on a psychic show one night. That's the same show I was listening to Jim Mars tonight. He has an eclectic blend of guests. And she calls herself a witch. She calls herself a cauldron-stirring, broom-riding witch.
A cauldron-stirring, broom-riding witch. Okay.
But she fights demons, and she knows all about them, and she's learned the craft from her grandfather. I think they're Italian. Paglini. Her name is Evelyn Paglini. P-A-G-L-I-N-I. Yeah.
All right. Deb, I thank you for calling with that information. And it's good, as I said, it's good to hear you again. You say you've been in the hospital a long time.
Yeah,
are you out now?
I'm out now.
Well, that's good. That's good. I wish you all the best. Thanks for the call.
I'm a little bit better than Stephen Hawking. Of course, I don't have his brain. Time nurse, and she took the telephone for me.
Well, that's nice. And I want to thank you for calling. I hope you'll feel up to calling in again soon.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, I hope so.
I listen every night. I just can't. I can't type. Remember, last time I talked to you, I told you my typing was going, but it's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
Wonderful lady to help me here.
That's good. Tell her I said thanks.
Okay.
All right. Deb from Calgary. We haven't heard from her in a long time. I had wondered. The telephone number is 623-581-5148. Demon possession, I was saying, is something that... let me back off of possession. Demons. It's just a topic that's way beyond the normal experience for... I would say at least 99% of us. I can't say I ever met a demon. I can't say that I ever met someone that was fully demon possessed, or that I was fully convinced was demon possessed. But there's not a doubt in my mind. There's not a doubt in my mind that evil exists, and that it is personified in many different ways. And certainly demons would be one way. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Jason in Macon, Georgia.
Jason in Macon, Georgia. Have you ever called in before, Jason?
Yeah, I called about the Bigfoot thing and was let down on that one. So.
All right.
But I do have a question for your guest, Lisa.
Yep.
I was wondering, it sounds like her daughter... you know, sees everything and it's really affecting her, but like as far as anything getting thrown around or any physical abuse, does Lisa see that happening?
Okay, repeat your question.
I don't know if you guys covered that already, but
about your physical things happening?
Any plates flying or anything getting thrown across the room? Does her daughter see this stuff happen, or has Lisa seen any of this? And I do have another question.
Okay, she already has answered that, but Lisa, you haven't seen plates flying or pictures flying off the walls or any physical abuse to your family?
No, that's what I wanted to, you know, it's where Hollywood, I think, comes into a lot of this, that we see those kind of things in the movies, but, you know, the kind of threats that we've had, you know, with this thing that happened to me the other night with the clawing, you know, saying that it was going to hurt me, that was pretty physical. I mean, it was very real. My daughter getting thrown across the room into furniture, that was very real. And the incident at the camp with the girl's necklace getting ripped off of her and thrown across the field, that was very real. But fortunately, I mean, I'm very glad that we haven't had the other things happening, because I think that if I saw pictures flying off my walls, I shouldn't even say this in the house because it puts that power of suggestion out there. I think if I saw but more of those physical things, I wouldn't be staying here. I think that's what's keeping me sane, is not seeing those kind of things going on.
Okay. Caller, you had another question?
Yeah. As far as when she's in the house, like renovating and just focusing on the renovation, do you catch things like out of the corner of your eyes and like just, you know, constantly, did I just see that? Or because it seems like, you know, that's kind of what I do, is like, you know, you can barely see something out of the corner of your eye, you turn and look, and it's not there. So I was just wondering if maybe that's what...
All right, let's find out. How about that? Have you just seen things out of the corner of your eye, and then you look, and it's not there?
I know I've seen something when that's happened. That's kind of like your human instinct kicking in, saying, I really didn't see that kind of thing. I've never had it where I could dismiss it. So I've seen a lot of things out of the corner of my eye that I wish I wouldn't have. So I say if someone else is having that happening, don't second guess yourself. If you think you saw something or you think you sensed something, you probably did.
All right. Does that answer your question, caller?
Yeah, and Kevin, I really thank you for your show, and I think you do a really good job of when you do your interviews, as far as letting everybody tell their story and not interrupt them, and you know, try to, you know, throw what you know in on top of, you know, just letting them tell their story. And
Well, I appreciate the compliment. I hope you'll call again.
That's great. How does all this pertain to UFOs?
Jason, you're a bad boy.
Kevin, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
When you were talking about, when I talked about these manifestations and the hooded figures and all that, and you were referring to the Star Wars kind of cloak thing, what do you know about that kind of thing? I mean, what in your opinion, how is that significant to what we're experiencing?
I don't know that there's a connection at all. I just was trying to picture in my mind the type of cloak you were talking about, and mm-hmm. so I just used one as an example.
Okay.
So I hear, doing this show, I hear everything. I hear all kinds of theories. I hear that, you know, there is a connection between UFOs and angelic beings, and then I hear that there is not. I think no one knows. I think it is speculation, and people have strong beliefs about it. But I don't think anybody knows. But I was just using that as an example. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob again from California.
All right, Bob?
Hey, I had a quick question for both of you, I guess, because you both probably know a little bit about it. Do you think it would be a good idea to hire, like, a team of, like, 10 different exorcists or exorcisers and have some kind of ritual thing to try to cast them away and maybe like try to bless the family or something? Thanks.
All right. What do you think?
I'm shaking my head here. No way, no way, no way. I think it's a fear thing, but there's something really bad here. I mean, I don't know what other way to put it, and I just don't know how that would help us at this point. I think it has so strongly attached itself to our family that I just think bad things would happen if we did that. And my husband won't go for that anyway. He's, you know, very strict on wanting to stick with what the plan is that we're doing right now. I know I have a lot of people arguing that point that, oh, you should bring this person out and do that. But truly, it's a thought, though, if we're the ones that have to deal with this because it's happening to us and some higher person of, you know, religious authority, you know, comes in, can they really do anything? Or is it going to have to be our family to do this? And it's a growing experience.
Well, it may be
experience.
Both. If someone was breaking into your house, would you call the police?
Yeah, most likely, unless we had something to take care of that here already.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, even if you had something, I can tell you if someone broke in, for instance, if someone were to break in to, I've got a big window back here that you can't see, but if someone were to break into that while I'm doing the show or at any time, I would shoot them. I would blow them right back out the window, but then I have to call the cops after
right,
that.
Yeah.
All right, we're into a break, and we'll be back more with Lisa Lindley right after this, folks, and we'll take some more of your calls.
Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
For the new arrival. Got iPod? Get K-Pods, the Kevin Smith Show podcast, and take Kevin with you everywhere. Subscribe today at kevinsmithshow.com.
And welcome back. We are on Final Approach. That means that we only have a few minutes left in tonight's show. I want to remind you, if you haven't done this, be sure you go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and subscribe to the K-Files e-zine. It is our free weekly newsletter. Goes out every week. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. And there are no strings attached. We will not give your email address to anybody, or we don't loan that list out, we don't rent it out, we don't sell it. So you're not going to be spammed as a result of having subscribed to the K-Files e-zine. All right, in the final few minutes here, we do just have maybe 8 minutes left before we have to start closing the show down for the evening. Have you, as you've thought about how all of this began, have you come to any sort of conclusions about what may have triggered this?
I think that our family needed a big wake-up call, and we did not have a sense of faith and unity in our family. And my husband was the hardest person to reach, and I really feel that maybe this situation was used for some higher purpose. And it's crazy because you say, you know, how can something negative, you know, be a good thing? But in a lot of ways, I think that's why the situation was used. You know, we weren't looking for this to happen to us, and I think that it moved our family in a really powerful way. So we're thankful for that, and I think that's what it was. We were really lacking in faith, and maybe God thought, hey, this family needs to go through this experience to trust in me, and, you know, it just became all too real. I have to say that from the bottom of my heart, that that's as honest and real as I can get, that what happened to us, I know it's for some higher purpose. But also from, you know, the things I know, you know, if people invite this stuff in, I think they are absolutely out of their mind. You know, you think it would be cool to live in a house that has activities, so let's do a Ouija board and conjure this up, or, you know, my kids dabbling in this. I mean, you need to be really up, the listeners, on your children and listen to your kids, you know, when they're saying, oh, I'm seeing this, or I have this imaginary friend. You know, it might not be an imaginary friend that your child is talking to. I think people need to have an open mind and just really, you know, be open to a lot of things. I think this situation's been a good learning experience, I guess, if you want to put it that way.
Let me ask you a little bit about your daughter. Is your daughter into goth stuff?
No, not by any means. She's a big baseball, softball girl. She's a big tomboy in that way. Never. And we are really against that kind of stuff in our house. We're trying to keep a good, I guess, a good value thing going here. But she's never had exposure to that. There's kids that, you know, she's a freshman this year. They go to school, and they're into all this dark side of different things. But she doesn't even have any friends that are into that.
There are obvious reasons why I ask that. But one of the obvious reasons, or maybe less obvious reasons, is that I hear people make an automatic connection between goth lifestyle and you know, the clothes and, you know, the artwork and stuff like that and the music. And they make an automatic connection that this person is going to be all wrapped up in Satanism and demon stuff.
What? It was, though, the case at our first house, though. After the fact, we found this out, that 14-year-old boy was into that. And there were pentagrams drawn on our wall. And there were these evil posters up in the room that we took down. And he was into that kind of thing, the neighbor told me. And the daughter of the woman that lived there that killed herself, you know, she told me a lot about what was going on with her brother. So we may never know what he was doing, you know, if he was, you know, chanting magic spells or what he was doing. But I do think that some kind of a door was opened and left when they moved, and I think that...
Well, see, I think that can be,
But yeah. I don't think it's automatic. I don't think...
Not for everybody.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say every person that's into goth, that would be... It's like doing an assumption one apple's bad, so all of them are going to be bad. You can't do that.
Well, you know, I don't know if you can see your screen. I don't know if you're able to watch the show while we're doing it. But let me put a picture up. And all of my regular audience have seen this picture. Now, this is a picture of me standing in flames. Now, the reason, and actually my ex-wife took this picture, and of course there were no flames around me. Those have been photoshopped in. But the reason was that I was having people that were sending me email telling me that I was the spawn of Satan, and I was, several people told me they were quite certain I had reservations in Hell Hotel. And it was because of the statement I made earlier in this show that if you believe there is a God, if you believe in God, even if you believe in the God that is talked about in the Bible, then you believe in extraterrestrials because he's not from here. And so I started getting all of that. And even now, when I put this picture up, there was a little slogan that went with the picture, and it said, "I've been invited to go there so much, I took the tour." All right, so I'm standing there in flames. Even now, and it's now, let's see, 6 years since that picture was done. When I put that picture up, I get people writing in telling me that I am associated with Satan because of that picture. All right, now, I think that is hogwash. I think that what goes on in a person's mind is what either hooks them to the dark side or disassociates them from the dark side. I think, for instance, when someone has a pentagram, I don't feel oppressed, depressed, impressed, or in any other way pressed if I walk into the room where there's a pentagram, because I do not mentally put any stock in its power. And I think people who do can get some results out of it. But I, you see what I'm saying? I think people who do put they put some mental stock into, or some belief into that symbol, get some results out of it. And it may not be the results they're looking for, but I don't think that the symbol itself has power. I think the power is between our ears.
All I know about that first house, you know, when we went out to look at it, I got a really bad feeling when I walked in the door. It was like there was a presence there that I tried to dismiss.
And that was before you saw the pentagram.
That was before. That was up on the second floor when I walked in. It just reeked of death, like something wasn't right. And that's why I pulled the realtor aside on the second floor and I said, "I got to ask you a question. Did somebody die here?" And that was not related to anything else. We had no knowledge at that point in time of even a suicide, no knowledge of a kid being into whatever he was into. It was just a feeling I had. I can't shake that off. And I remember it to this day. Why didn't I listen to that feeling? I would have never bought this house, you know, if I would have thought that all this would have happened.
Before you were in that house, you had none of this. Is that right?
We had a great life. Kids were sleeping in their rooms. We didn't actually own a home. We were in a mobile home, and that's why we wanted an actual house. And, you know, that we found that one at the bargain basement steal of a deal price, and now maybe we know why. But, everything was normal. It was fine. We were comfortable. There wasn't a constant sense of tension. And then 2003, we bought the house, and that's when it all started.
Lisa, I hate to cut you off, but you know what? We've reached the end of the show, and I wish we had more time, but we don't. And I want to thank you for being with us, and I wish you all the best. And if you will, just stay on the line with me for just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap. It's time for me to say that my friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, when we go open line. So long, everybody.